Welcome everybody to Capes and Scowls West.
West.
2018 Year in Review Special Part 2. We are going to be focusing only on comic books and the awesomeness that was comics in 2018. And so, without further ado, we're going to get right into it with favorite writer. And since this is pretty much Patrick's category, why don't you start?
Oh, God.
Okay,
so for me, number three, favorite writer, and this may come as no surprise. Actually, none of these are any surprise to anybody, so a spoiler. Ryan North. Writer of The Unbeatable Squirrel Girl, also of Romeo and or Juliet, which is his choose-your-own-adventure Romeo and Juliet novel that I read this year, which is just one of the funniest, most intricate things I've read in quite a while. So, like, that instantly put him up there. Also, he just came out with a non-fiction time travel book this year, so if that gives you a hint, a hint about how silly and smart he is at the same time.
Might be the funniest writer in comics.
Probably the funniest. I haven't read anyone funnier in comics or in just regular novels either.
Nice.
In quite a while, so nice. There you go, Ryan North. Keep up the good work.
Okay.
So my number three is James Tynion IV.
Ooh.
I loved his number one, I'm reading Justice League Dark. I love his writing. And then his Detective Comics run that he had at the very end, it dropped down into January. I was like, it counts! And it went through a little bit. But I always love reading his writing. Usually when people are like, yeah, he's writing. And I'm like, fuck, I probably have to read it. All right, Matt's turn.
My number three is Jason Aaron. I am completely surprised that he could continue to craft this Thor epic, considering he's been on the book since, like, 2012 or something. Like, it's absurd the amount of years he's been writing this. And then he was also moved over to Avengers this year, which has been incredibly popular, like, crazy and large. And, yeah, I never read a Jason Aaron book and go, well, that was kind of meh. It's like, every time I read a Jason Aaron book, I'm like, man, how does he still write a really great individual issue and then also have this epic that's going on? So, yeah, that's my number three, Jason Aaron.
Nice. Cool.
Number two for you?
Number two for me, also no surprise, G. Willow Wilson.
I'm actually surprised that she's number two.
No,
I think I know number one.
Fair enough. Well, we'll see. Work on Ms. Marvel, Wonder Woman 2, just spanning two, like, massive titles and keeping up just the joy and, like, thematic style
of
her writing.
I'm sure she sleeps as much as I used to.
And then none. I also read Aelith the Unseen, too, her novel this year. I know that's a couple years old, but that just blew me away, too, with just continuing her, you know, high fantasy cyber thriller at the same time. I don't even know how she comes up with these things.
I can't wait for the stuff she's
like,
doing
next
year, too.
It's time to come up with a new story.
Yeah, right. She's coming out with a second novel, too. And then
a sci-fi comic book series.
Yeah, for Image. It looks like a sci-fi epic kind of thing. So, yeah, I'm really excited for that. And her work on Wonder Woman still. So,
yeah.
Cool. Kat?
So, my number two is Marguerite Bennett. I love her. She's so great. I mean, I actually met her this year, too, so there's that.
Oh, did you? That's awesome.
Yeah, she did Batwoman, and then she's the one who's writing Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
I was about to say, the new Mighty Morphin Power Rangers run starting after Shattered Grid.
Yep, she's the one who took that over after that. So, I mean, I was really sad that she was leaving Batwoman because they didn't find anyone to replace her. But at the same time, I'm like, she's still here in Mighty Morphin, but I want you over here.
Yeah. God, I'm loving herself in Mighty Morphin right now.
Right? I'm like, I want it all, but I can't have it all, because apparently she's kind of sleeps, like, a couple hours, I guess. I don't know.
Unlike G. Willow Wilson,
yeah, exactly.
She needs some sleep.
I'm pretty sure, like, G. Willow Wilson, she has kids, right?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure that she gave, like, as she was giving birth, she was writing an article.
She was like, this is taking too much time.
Not too far off. And she has an afterword in her novel, and it's not too far off, actually.
She was like, oh, I got a great idea.
Yeah, exactly.
Ma'am, we need you to focus.
Like, she's writing, push, and turn that. Oh, wait, that's what I'm supposed to be saying.
All right, Ron.
I still have my number two,
okay,
which I have a feeling is going to be higher on somebody else's list. My number two writer is Tom King. Oh, not higher. Okay,
that's a good one though.
So,
sure.
Forget about Tom King a little bit.
So obviously the ongoing writer for Batman, and specifically Batman number 50. I just head that this beautifully written issue.
So wonderful.
And Mr. Miracle. I mean, come on, like that book is just absolutely a mind bend, and I think that Tom King here, the way he approaches things from such a high level of theme and the way he handles suicide and how
he's doing Heroes in Crisis too, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, and Heroes of holy shit, I forgot that he was doing Heroes in Crisis.
So my thing is like I've hit that point where I'm like, Cat wants dum dum. Tom King make Cat brain hurt.
Right. Tom King's smart.
Yeah, Tom King.
Smart.
Yeah. All right, well, Pat, first number one of this one.
Number one for me this year is Ta-Nehisi Coates.
Oh, yeah.
For continuing to make Black Panther even better than it originally was. Okay. And then his work on Captain America, too, just starting out for me. And also still his work for The Atlantic. I still read all of his articles when they come out because he's awesome. And, like, he just is one of the most real writers, I think, working today. Like, he doesn't pull any punches on anything.
He's so complete. Like, everything is such a complete, thought-out piece of work, you know? Like,
yes.
There's nothing that's left behind.
Yes, you can tell every time that he throws in, like, a butt or something. Right. You know, it's super, purposeful.
Yeah.
And
he's got a lot of yes-and in Ta-Nehisi Coates' work.
Yes, and that's why I love him, because he's, just so great, so great.
I will say, like side note on the dum-dum thing, it's not that the writers before that aren't, like, smart, it's more of, this is the story that we're in, and this is what we're hiding. There's no outside, thought process besides this story. Yeah. Tom Cat King is like, think about life and death and sadness and happiness, and I'm like, stop it!
Yeah, it's like, ooh, that guy got punched in the face, and Ta-Nehisi Coates is like, but why was he punched in the face?
Exactly. Yeah, small side
think about the deeper implications of the punch to the face. It wasn't just a punch to the body, it was a punch specifically to the face.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that's basically what I'm saying.
Alright, Kat, well, who was favorite writer for you?
Honestly, not probably shocking at all, but Christos Gage. He did the Spider-Man game.
Oh!
And that was a phenomenal Spider-Man story. I have never cried at a video game, but good on you, sir.
Nice.
And then he's writing Spider-Geddon, and then I haven't read it yet, but he's doing Superior Spider-Man as well right now. That's the last, that's the first issue for that one, but he's knocking it out of the park with Spider-Man right now.
Nice.
He's just like whipping it.
Spider-Man had a hell of a year, whether comics, video games, or movies.
Yes,
like, I mean, honestly, I was not expecting the story to be as good in that game as it was, so, Endgame. Good on you, bro.
My favorite writer of 2018, and to no one's surprise, is Donny Cates. Donny Cates wrote he appeals to my sensibilities. He writes like a 16-year-old writing fan fiction. Like, there's no holds barred. This is out there ridiculousness.
Thinking about the Carnage comic that he wrote.
Venom and Cosmic Ghost Rider are just, you know, like, it's literally that freaking kid in a candy store, go nuts. And I love that style. I also discovered his older stuff this year. Finally read God Country and, yeah, just like Kate's masterful. I can't wait to read every time something is announced. And he's doing the Marvel Knights 20th too, so it's like guy just he knows comics and he knows how to have fun with comics, and I love that.
That's the best part.
Nice. Alright, cool. So we'll move on to category two, which is the favorite moment in comics. I'm gonna go ahead and lead off on this one.
Do it.
I'm gonna start with Wonder Woman, Aztec, and Artemis team up in Wonder Woman 52 and 53, and they go into the other world of the Aztec gods. Man, did this make me happy. This was the type of storytelling I really, really wanted in Wonder Woman comics. You know, if we're going to team her up, let's team her up with some more female characters. And let's bring in Aztec, who we haven't fucking seen in years.
That's
and do
true.
Something crazy. With just a great, like, perfect little two-issue run, and I just enjoyed every little bit of it. It made me so happy to read, and it makes me so happy flipping through the pages right now.
Nice.
All right, Pat.
That's awesome. Well, number three for me, this was And I forget off the top of my head which issue this is now, but it was Jeff Lemire's Royal City, the final reveal of Tommy's death, who is a member of the family, and the whole story kind of revolves around this, this incident, but once it actually happens, it's just so beautifully illustrated and beautifully written and cinematic. It was just such a, I don't want to say a treat because it's the death of like a teenager, but like it really was a satisfying moment in the series. Yeah, I'll say satisfying. Maybe I still feel bad about that one.
Yeah, right. You're like, I'm dead.
Wait. Yeah, I know, right? Ooh, look at that. He's dead now. But yeah. Anyway, what about you, Kat?
Actually, which is hilarious because I didn't realize two moments actually revolve around the same thing. The introduction of the Ranger Slayer, that was like the best. Kimberly, like such a badass, and she shows up in Go-Go and whoops ass. Plus her costume is just like that moment in time where it's like Incredibles, no capes, but I'm like, no capes.
Yeah, definitely bring the capes. Power Rangers need capes.
But yeah, that
little
was...
Miles Morales love there too, right?
Yeah, right. But yeah, her introduction was. Her bow is awesome. It's all awesome.
Yeah.
At moment in time. It's awesome.
Yes. Well, I'm going to actually stay in the same realm of Go-Go Power Rangers. And my number two moment of the year was Go-Go Power Rangers number 12. We need Mega Gravezord power now.
That was the best.
The Ranger Slayer actually teams with the Power Rangers, and beautifully rendered by Dan Mora, we see this crazy-ass new Megazord. So much fun. Just to quote one of my the shows that I discovered this year, holy forking shirtballs. I just absolutely love this moment. It's just so much fun, and, you know, that's for me my biggest takeaway of comics, is I want to have a good time. And this just took me to the next level. So.
You formed extra good time.
Yeah, exactly. We have formed extra good time and extra good art.
Yeah. Basically.
Artist and writer combined to form great comic.
Yay! All right, Patrick, you're number two?
Number two for me was... the White Knight reveal of two Harley Quinns. That was such a great
I'm
going to
call a buzzer on this one. That happened in 2017. That was issue number two.
No! Yeah. That buzzer. Actual part did? Oh, dang it. I thought it was later in the series. No.
Because it was my number one of last year.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, no. I forgot about that. Ah, yes. Stupid Patrick for not checking dates on issues. Stupid, dumb, stupid. Well, God, I suck.
The end of White Knight was pretty good, though.
Yeah, I'll take that.
He's like, skirt.
Yeah, that one part that happened in this year was my second favorite moment, I guess. Cat, go!
You're number two.
Like, off me, off! I guess this my second favorite one is the last issue of Batwoman when she's running from Batman and actually takes him on and uses his own PTSD against him.
Oh,
that
yeah.
shows that made her own character in that honest to God moment right there. So like, yeah, she's just a woman. I'm like, no, that bitch will do anything to win.
Yeah, that's
tactically she will take on anyone and she'll do anything. She'll play dirty. She don't care. She made her own bat person in that point in time because she fired she played an audio clip of the exact gun that went off and killed his parents and he stopped. And then she kicked him in the face.
That's pretty fantastic. And once again, a testament to Marguerite Benner.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah. I was just like, that was dark.
Yeah.
I was like, you went there, damn. That's true.
All right, so I guess we are up to my number one. And my number one moment is from Cosmic Ghost Rider number two. And it is Uatu witnessing... the dumbest moment in the history of living things. I'm going to actually read this.
Okay.
I have come to witness the worst choice that any living being has ever made in the history of thought and the immediate consequences thereof. And then we hear the Cosmic Ghost Rider say, nah, you know what? I'm sick of all of this. I'm going to raise this kid myself and both of you big-headed fucks can go fuck yourselves. And then the Watcher responds with, And there it is. So the Punisher deciding he's going to raise baby Thanos was my moment of the year. Laughed out loud as I was reading this by myself.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I just nothing. That this book was ridiculous, and I absolutely love that.
So, that's awesome.
All right, what's your number one?
All right, well, my number one, I know for certain happened, and it's not necessarily the event in the comic itself, but also all the surrounding events that happened after it. But this was the reveal of the bat penis.
Oh!
issue number one of Batman
Down. The
events
around it, touche.
Yes, because I thought that was a good scene in the book, and it was, like, really interesting. I would put it very high as moments, but the reason it is number one for me is everyone's reaction to it.
I know.
And DC's reaction to it.
That was literally the best part. I mean, the first part of that is, I'm like, this is a mature book. Do you expect any less?
Right. That's exactly what
I
love so much about it.
Way to come out of the gate swinging, no pun intended.
It's funny that you mentioned this, because this almost made, like, there was about four categories where Batman Damned number one almost made it in my list.
Yeah.
And it was, like, biggest pop culture surprise, you know, like, almost biggest disappointment because of DC's reaction to it, you know? Like, this is a, what a great issue, too. Like,
yeah, no, it's such a great issue, but, like, seriously, everybody's, like, reaction to it
was the fervor about the whole
thing. DC, we're gonna release our first explicitly mature, or not first, but like explicitly mature reader line, and this is gonna be the first book for explicitly mature readers. You have to be, you know, 21 to buy this, not even 18. Like, you know, like
an X rating.
Yeah, exactly. double X, like triple X rating, and then they're like, oh, wait, a penis in it? Oh, sorry about that, guys.
Yeah.
Didn't expect that from a mature reader's book.
God.
I didn't know what to expect. I will say a penis was not one of them. I was like, well, that's surprising.
They really were just, you know, pulling out all the stops. You could say they were whipping out all the stops, too.
What was your favorite moment in comics of 2018?
Honestly, Shattered Grid.
Ooh.
That entire, like, run, I was like, I need more of this. I'm, like, in the back just scratching. I'm like, Nat, you got more Mighty Morphin?
Right. It was great. It was
I was honestly surprised. And the covers for all of them were fucking phenomenal. Like, the one where they actually, the first one that you got that was in the little baggie, that was in him holding his helmet. I was like, the Lord Drakkon helmet. I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
I didn't know I needed this.
It's interesting too, because Boom really set the paradigm for what a crossover should look like in today's comic world.
I think a lot of concerns even came down to it. They now made Mighty Morphin and Go-Go two different stories.
They are two different books completely.
So, yeah, and that was like the best part is I'm like, so now I get my original, but I also get something completely and brand new with Marguerite Bennett.
Yep.
Thank you!
Shattered was great.
Oh, yeah, no, it's
absolutely
phenomenal.
Great. All right, so we are now to our favorite artists of 2018, and to no one's surprise, I have an honorable mention.
I had 12.
I had to keep it locked down. My number four artist and my honorable mention is Carl Kerschel for Isola. Mm. I think this is one of the most stunning comic books on shelves, but it is more a combination of the art team than just Carl Kerschel. What I loved about him was the Miyazaki-esque style that he approaches. There's a level of manga-ness to it without just beating you over the head with that style. The way that everything communicates as part of the story, it just feels like it should be an animation. Like, it could just literally be taken and put on screen. It's gorgeous. The visual language in this book is incredible, and I think that Carl Kerschel's lines just make it. Oh, and he uses onomatopoeia that's in, like, the language of the book, so you don't know what they're saying.
Yes.
Like, that's just, it's fantastic.
Sound effects that are just runes, basically.
Right, exactly. So, I loved it. Loved Carl Kerschel's artwork. Had to be highlighted for me.
Excellent.
Pat, you're number three?
Cool. Number three for me, going off of my number one for the last category, is Lee Bermejo for his artwork on Batman Damned. There's his cityscapes in it, I think alone put him up there for me, just, and, I mean, not to mention, like, I don't know, he has such an interesting style. I
It's hyper realism in this painted sense. Like, it's not.
It's like it looks like watercolor sometimes. Yeah, it's so weird.
And it's just like
he's, not a bad way.
He's attempting to be real through the prismatic, like the lens of comics, though. Like everything is operatic and gigantic, but yeah. It's still like grounded in reality.
Yeah. Yeah, great so book. It's interesting. Yeah.
Awesome design for the bat suits too. Like these are two different specific designs, but they feel like you could go to a shelf, find the suit, and put it on. Like it would be a real thing that somebody could wear.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, all that stuff. All that. Good stuff.
He's great. He's great.
I really want to see what he's done next, or maybe pick up some stuff that he's done in the past.
Batman Noel. He does a holiday book that is literally the Night Before Christmas.
Oh yeah,
but it's done as Batman.
Oh yeah, that's a Christmas. That suit is fucking awesome. I know exactly what one you're talking. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Batman Arkham Knight, Arkham City.
cool. What about you, Kat? What do you have number three?
Surprisingly, I have Gary Frank for Doomsday Clock.
I was actually thinking about that one myself
because I was kind of flipping through stuff last night, and I'm like, you know what? I really like the artwork in Doomsday Clock. I like how Superman looks. I like all of how most of the characters look, and I'm like, this is pretty.
He almost made my list because of like the subtlety that uses in panels. Like you're breaking down like whether or not a character is wearing a watch or something like that, like minute. So I think that's a very powerful statement to me.
There's so much hidden in there that we don't even know.
Lots of art direction that is part of the story. Yeah. He's another one that in my my mind, it's weird how distinctly different he is from Lee Bermejo, but they are both hyper-realism. He just takes the more, like, traditional inked-lined perspective. Oh, yeah,
and that's, like, one of my favorite art styles for comics, so it's not really...
He draws the best Superman, doesn't he?
He really does.
He looks like Christopher Reeve, but, like, through the comic book lens.
Mm-hmm. So. And I'm just like, yes.
What a great artist.
Yeah. All right, Matt.
My number three is Mike Del Mundo for Thor 1 through 4 and number 8. I have no way to describe his artwork. I really don't. This blew me away. This is the first time I've really looked at or seen his stuff and been really aware of it. It's like watercolor vomit that like is this giant animated painting. He uses cartooning. He uses like word balloons, onomatopoeia, impacts that are literally rendered as stars, like people literally see stars when they get hit. This book is gorgeous, and it uses cartoon. Like, it is so indescribable. There's what you would quote-unquote call the ink line is, like, this heavy paint line on the outside. There's so much energy, so much color. I not only, like, relish when this book comes into my stack, I just stare at it for a while. So, Mike Del Mundo.
Ooh.
All right. You're number two?
Number two for me, and this is probably going to be a surprise, but it was Guri Hiro. I actually realized,
I'm just saying,
on. You know, it's just, every time they do a book, it's just so fun. Like, I found myself actually picking up books because of them when they're on the art team. I don't do that for many artists or whatever, you know, even books that I really don't like The Wasp. Yeah. But I, you know, powered through it because of their artwork on it. It's awesome.
What the hell is going on here?
I know, right? Like, that's just pretty awesome.
I'm just like a little, did I just have a stroke?
It's like Patrick literally just said that he's reading something for its artwork.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And also artwork that's explicitly fun and, like, cartoony and, like, not dark and gritty and make you think.
Yeah. All right. You're number broken. Two?
I might pronounce her name wrong because I am blanking all of a sudden, but Joelle Jones. And
the three issue or two issue run of Batman.
Yeah, she did that, and then she did the cover art for the variant of cover with Catwoman, and that thing was beautiful.
She designed the dress.
And I will say, have fallen out of the storyline for Catwoman, but I'd probably buy them for the artwork that she does in them because they're really good. She does a really good job.
She's a great Wonder Woman,
so
too.
So good.
Yeah,
she's like great Wonder Woman.
So good. I'm like, nice. You're great at everything you do. All
right. Well, speaking of Wonder Woman, my number two, as probably higher on other people's lists, is Liam Sharp. Okay, so we will move on to,
number, I think everybody went through number twos, so we're at
number one. Patrick, you're number one?
Number one for me was Liam Sharp, actually.
And Kat's number one as well.
And yours too? Wow. Oh, man. Obviously, Brave and the Bold 2 and Green Lantern, even though I had no idea what was going on in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to be a little bit biased to this because I'm Irish, but, like, his, like, Gaelic style, especially in Brave and the Bold and his border work. But, like, I realize that he kind of has that style in general, like, even in Green Lantern.
Yeah,
like,
even though they're super simple, they're still...
Yeah, it's just symmetry and, like, intricate line work and, like, it looks like you're reading old Gaelic texts,
right?
Basically, if they drew comics back in, like, the Druid times.
Well, my biggest thing is like, I think I remember specifically saying when we were reviewing this, the first issue or whatever, I'm like, I've never been so pissed off at a comic because the artwork is so pretty, I get distracted and I can't read it, and then I lost track of what happened and I have to go back.
Yes.
I echo all of the sentiments at this point in time. He's my number two. The insane density of the environments in the artwork. And this is, like, once again, and for me, it's the power of the ink line. Like, there's so much ink on every page, you know? Like, you see so many lines, and it's just, it's so beautiful. He's also top three Wonder Woman artists. I would be remiss if we didn't talk about sexy Batman lips.
Yeah, right.
I mean, we definitely hit that. There's also a couple of issues where he does, like, frescoes in the middle of it as part of the background artwork in the story for Brave and the Bold.
Even the border breaks and everything.
The intricate...
And they're just, like, designed. I'm like, what are you...
The Celtic knot work.
Yeah.
Just absolutely fantastic. I was so happy. I can't say enough about his Wonder Woman, too.
Wonder Woman
is so good.
Right?
His Batman lips, though.
The Batman lips. I know! It's like looking at Val Kilmer again. You know?
He's got the pouty face down, too, for Batman real well.
I want him to put his lips right up next to my ear and whisper, I'm Batman.
Awesome.
Don't, yeah.
Shh.
I'm Batman.
So.
Where's Rachel?
Awesome. I'm so glad everybody loves Liam Sharp so much. But I have a different number one.
Yeah, all right,
Number one for me was Dylan Burnett for Cosmic Ghost Rider, for the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Annual, and for X-Force number one. Dylan Burnett is just the great use of inks. Once again, that's what I love. It seems like he's a student of manga. He uses speed lines exceptionally well. Has amazing page layouts. Some of the most breathtaking pages of the year. There's an upshot of Galactus in Cosmic Ghost Rider number 2 that is just incredible.
He's an upshot of Galactus. The first thing I think is, we got an upskirt of Galactus.
Sort of. And it's all just energy.
It's
incomprehensible. he uses Kirby dots. It's just all of the energy in the world. Every time I read one of his pages, I can just stare. Also, the character designs. I also want to talk about panel layouts. We talk about Liam Sharp and how crazy and how intricate the panels are. Dylan Burnett's on the other side of that spectrum. Everything is easy to read. It's super, like, it's perfect story. You know exactly where you're going to follow.
You don't get distracted.
You don't get distracted by it. You get distracted by how beautiful everything looks.
So you don't get distracted by the panels themselves.
Right.
The panels.
You don't get distracted by the panel themselves. I love Dylan Burnett. I discovered Dylan Burnett this year, and I will read everything that this guy's on. Like, that is 100% for me.
Nice.
All right. So let's move on to favorite single issue. Let's have Kat start this one.
So my number 3 was the What If Flash Thompson number 1.
Whoa!
I actually really enjoyed that comic. It was the whole time is all you hear him is, I'm a hero. And then he finally realizes, I'm not a hero. But that's all he screams at everybody.
Wow.
Even though he's a horrible, horrible hero. Probably ranks closer to an anti-hero.
My number 3 is Batman number 50.
And it's
higher on a different list. So we'll move on to Pat's number 3.
Number 3 for me was Captain America number 1 by Ta-Nehisi Coates and Lionel Francis Yu. Yeah, I was expecting a good book when I saw that Coates was doing Cap, but wow, Matt was just stabbing himself in the heart, basically. It absolutely tore me apart and made me just, like, reconsider what America is today, you know.
I want Dum Dum.
Anyway, what, do you have a Dum Dum for us then? Yeah. For number two?
I mean, I have not necessarily a Dum Dum, but a heart wrenching, my heart hurts, this is beautiful, why?
Okay.
Which would be Batman number 50, was my number two. Because it was just. I. Damn.
For me, it was the cemetery. The dueling love letters. Like, that just blew me away.
I was just like, this is beautiful. This is beautiful.
Well, and I think it's funny, too, that the whole thing is a love letter to the Bat and the Cat.
Yep.
So, like, they're dueling love letters and...
Well, and the best part is all the different artwork and all the different costumes. Like, they even had her, like, caped OG Catwoman stuff in the very beginning and...
They joke about the white eyes for the suits. That's a complete piece of work.
Oh,
in
my
mind.
God, so much. So pretty. Yeah. All right, guess not.
My number two, What if magic became Sorcerer Supreme?
That was ridiculous.
I don't know what it was, but this stuck with me in a way that I haven't had a lot of single issues stick with me. I want this to be a miniseries. It might have been Felipe Andrade's art that just killed me. And Leah Williams, I need to look her up and read some more stuff because this was just so... It felt so complete. It was super psychedelic. I want more Doctor Strange like this, and I certainly want a miniseries of this character. This was just a tour de force single issue that just stuck with me, and who would have thought that the What If series ended up being as strong as it was?
What if Marvel made good?
What if Marvel made good? There's one that was definitely a blank spot on that this year. That's okay. Yeah, what if Magic number one was awesome?
Well, that's awesome.
What if Flash stops in?
We got two What Ifs.
Yeah.
On this list. Wow.
You got number two we have still for you?
Yes. So number two for me was the final Gwenpool issue, number 25, by Christopher Hastings.
I forgot about that.
Oh my god.
I think I had that issue somewhere in my house too. I remember reading it because it was so good.
Talk about just a love letter to comics. Since her powers like transpose comics and how the whole thing is about, you know, you're reading this right now in 2018, but there's some kid discovering it in a library in 2025. And then,
my heart.
The through line with, like, the little girl, too, that she, like, saves in the beginning and then, like, is an old woman and dies at the end. Just so much in one issue. And this series started as my guilty pleasure, by the way. I did not tell anybody I was doing this until maybe issue, like, 15. So.
I'm fine.
That's a great issue.
And then, oh my goodness. Even if you haven't read the rest of the series, go out, pick up 25, and just have your heart
be
crushed and lifted at the same time.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Kat? We're to your number one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
If this shocks anybody, you don't know me. It's Action Comics number 1000.
Oh, yeah.
There was some fun, the first thing in there, I was almost in tears on my couch. And then all the little stories after that were just fucking great. I mean, they were so good. I have all the variant covers. I don't have a problem. You have a problem.
can't argue with that one. That issue was incredible.
I honestly did not expect as much from it as it was.
I didn't expect to feel that emotional about
it. I didn't either.
And I'm not even a Superman fan. And I still felt, especially Tom King's story.
The end of the world. Or the end of the universe, I guess. I don't know.
I don't think anybody knows. Either way, it was definitely... That was... Yeah, it was so good. I don't know what else to say besides go and read it. I know they I know comic stores definitely probably have some covers floating around. Pick them up. It's worth your time.
Yeah.
Especially if you like Superman.
Yeah.
Because that was a love letter to Superman, and I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm. All right. My number one is continuing a theme here. Cosmic Ghost Rider number two. I've never jumped out of my chair, pumping my fist, and laughed out loud while reading a comic book by myself. This is
pretty impressive.
I was skeptical when Cosmic Ghost Rider started that it wasn't going to be Cates and Shaw, and boy was I wrong. This was a perfect marriage. Number two is just this issue just stuck with me. I carried it around in my art portfolio for most of the year just because it was such an inspiration to look at all of the artwork and to just have a great laugh and feel the adventure. I mean, it's framed with Cosmic Ghost Rider and Baby Thanos sitting in a bar, and they're on separate seats, and he has them chained with the chains of Sidorak, you know, sitting next to him. Like, it's just ridiculous. It's everything that I love about comics.
Yeah. Yay. Fun.
Fun that kids should not read.
Yeah.
Adult fun.
Adult fun. Careful where you say that.
Yeah. Okay. Patrick, your number one issue?
Oh, my number one issue, continuing my theme of love letters, is issue number 31 of The Unbeatable Squirrel Girl. This is Erica Henderson's final issue, and the entire comic was Ryan North's love letter to Erica Henderson about... So the whole thing is framed from Doreen and Nancy getting, like, stuck out of time, basically, so okay. They're the only two people existing or whatever, and the development of their friendship over, like... Because they basically, like, grow old together and then, like, die and then come back or whatever... And so it's just, the relationship is so beautiful and so poignant for basically Squirrel Girl and Nancy being like, we'll be best friends forever, like no matter what happens. And Ryan North ostensibly telling Erica Henderson the same thing, like we're going our different ways, but we'll always be. I mean, like I've never cried during a comic book, and I was in tears, both laughing and just like sadness, because it's still hilarious, like Ryan North's jokes and stuff. But then, oh man, there's certain parts in it, oh, just right on the heartstrings, man, right on the heart. It's totally a standalone too, so
that's awesome.
Go pick it up. Yeah. Oof.
Man, just talking about these, it's like, what a good year of comics.
Yeah. Good year. Wow, what a good year. I'm glad we're reviewing this now.
You're right.
But,
all right.
So, what are we on to now?
Favorite ongoing comic of 2018, one of the big ones, and we're going to start with Cat again.
So I've got my honorable mention, which will be interesting, but Red Hood, the redone Red Hood, stuck up on me. I did not think I would enjoy it as much as I have been, because the last issue? I don't remember, but Batwoman shows up, and I mean, just, it's a brutal comic. He runs around with a freaking crowbar. I don't really know where else to go with that.
That's such a dark thematically, considering that's what killed him.
You know, oh, yeah, right, beats to death isn't with a crowbar.
It? Yeah.
And then he just beats the shit out of people with a crowbar. He's like, well, might as well use the thing that killed me. It's fine. All right.
What about you?
My number three is Thor. This is by Jason Aaron and Mike Del Mundo with some guest artists in there as well. I didn't think you could do better than the Jane Foster Thor. I really didn't think that was something that was going to happen, especially this late in Jason Aaron's run. And I'm completely blown away. The fact that she is still part of the story and you feel her heart and the loss of that character within the story and how it drives Odinson's story forward. It's spastic, it's colorful, it's dealing with Niflheim, it's dealing with the realm of the angels. I can't say how excited I get every time this is in my stack. This is just one of those books that every time sticks with me, and it's a full marriage between writer and artist. So,
yes.
All right.
Nice. Number three for me, where's my list again? Number three for me, and even though there's only two issues out of it right now, I would have to say Hex Wives is number three. This is written by Ben Blacker with art by Mirka Andolfo.
His name is legit.
Yeah, Ben Blacker. He sounds like a superhero.
Right.
But wow, this, so far on this run, like, the art's beautiful. Mirka almost made it to my artist list.
Yeah.
I don't understand how something so pretty can get so horrifying in a second.
Yeah! Like, her art is beautiful and candy-colored, but, like, thematically, the stuff it's dealing with is some of the most grim, like, you know, topics available. Domestic abuse and rape, basically, and, like, what, you know, consent, essentially? Yeah. Just all those things that make you want to go
cringy, ugh. Yeah.
But then you're like, wow, look how colorful this is.
Cat. I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm fine. I don't care.
It's not bothering me.
Yeah, it's just, wow. Cat, take it away.
So my number three, it kind of snuck up on me, and it was the last issue that did it. Superman. I didn't think that it would be...
Oh, the Bendis run.
The Bendis run.
Oh.
I didn't think that, because after the reveal at the very end, which if you've seen my reviews, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Nice.
Superboy comes back, but he looks oddly familiar. And if you don't know, all I have to say is Google Superboy Prime, read into him a little bit, look at his costume, and then you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. And you're like, what line is here?
Yes.
All right.
All right. My number two is Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, which is higher on another list. So we'll move on to Patrick's number two.
Nice. My number two is Prism Stalker by Sloane Leong.
Oh!
Yeah.
I'm so glad this is on somebody's list.
Oh,
I'm
man.
Sorry.
you seem almost more excited about it than I am.
There was so much good stuff this year that I couldn't figure out a place to put it.
I know, right? I have, like, four different, like, ones crossed out still on my list. What is going on in this? I mean, I know what's going on. It's actually a pretty simple story. She's just going to be trained to be some sort of soldier, but the context in which it happens is amazing. And talk about world building and, my like, subtle details and, like,
yeah.
Aliens being represented, actually alien.
Yeah.
I love that. It's, they're not just humans with blue faces. You
right.
know?
It's
they're,
like aliens.
That is like a tentacle creature. You look like you're just having a conversation with a Cthulhu.
Right, exactly. Oh my god. This is one of those, you have to read it as an experience. You'll read it backwards, you know, like this book is nuts. And
yes.
This is one, get it in the trade paperback if you can find it. Just grab this book and experience it. It is so different from what's on shelves.
If I wasn't addicted to it, picking it up in individual issues, like I can't go long enough for the trade. But if you can pick it up in the trade, it's such an encompassing story too that it reads. It's basically like a space opera,
right.
Like almost at this point.
The psychic fight sequence.
Yes,
Jesus
so
Christ.
Good.
Anyway,
yeah, like I said, I would totally read it in trade. That's what I recommend. But I am addicted to it, so
yeah.
I need it. I need it.
So my number two would be Justice League Dark.
Ooh.
So that lovely Aquaman kind of deal. It's super high fantasy, magic, weird. Faceless mouth things that hang from ceilings and want to eat you. I mean,
yeah.
It's literally the whole story is Wonder Woman's trying to fix magic, but has no idea about magic, so she surrounds herself with, you think, maybe magic? No. It's, you've got, oh my god, Zatanna, and then Constantine shows up, and then you have, what is it, Bobo? Our detective...
Oh, Detective Chimp.
Detective Chimp and, not Man-Bat.
Yeah.
So a scientist, a detective chimp, and Zatanna, and a smartass. Oh, and Swamp Thing, who wants nothing to do with people. So
nice.
Legit not helping nothing.
That's awesome.
All right. Well, my number one is going to be Star Wars Darth Vader. This was the end of the run, 25 tight issues.
Don't ruin 25.
Okay. Charles Soule and Giuseppe Comicoli, basically the team through the entire thing. It's just
so
been...
Good.
It's sad that it's ending. It's just...
But kind
just,
of good at the same time.
Yeah,
it's like an end of story.
It's one complete run. It feels fantastic. And slight spoilers, it ends with... There's a moment of Darth Vader actually enters the dark side. Like,
oh.
The dark side
yep,
itself.
That was 24 where he actually opens the door. To
oh, him. It gets nuts. 25 is great. So
oh,
that was my
nice.
Title. What was your number one?
That's great. Number one for me, this would be Monstrous by Marjorie Liu with art by Sana Takeda. Wow. I picked up, volume 3 came out, just recently, and after I picked that up, I went to everybody I could and my number one and was like, take this and read it. You take it and read it. Everyone take it and read it. And you just...
It's like an Oprah moment. You get a Monstrous. You get a Monstrous.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh man, I was talking about with Prism Stalker, like world building in a like science fiction sort of way.
Right.
This is the basically that, but with fantasy. I've never read a fantasy world like this before. Completely original. Like, I mean that like she takes nothing from... orcs and elves and classic mythology and an entirely new world. And Takeda's art is just absolutely breathtakingly beautiful. So
nice.
All right, so my number one
and my number two
and his number two would be Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, because dear God, you shattered my tiny mind with Shattered Grid. I did not think it was going to work out the way they did, and the way they explained how the worlds worked as well was fucking awesome and totally worked for the name of the thing. It was a good series, honestly. It's just great.
Yeah. Shattered Grid worked, and Shattered Grid got me reading the main title after the fact too. I cannot, when the new run of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers with Marguerite Bennett is in my stack, it is hard to not read it first.
Yep.
It's like I want to go to it, and it introduced us to Simone DeMio, the new artist on that book, and he's fucking incredible.
Oh yeah.
The Solar Ranger.
Oh, yeah.
Long live Solar Ranger.
Well, and the other part of it is, too, is, I mean, obviously Marguerite Bennett, but came into my favorite writers as well, and it's just like, you do good. Don't ever leave my stack.
Alrighty, well, we are to what I think for us is our big award of the year, yep. Which is favorite limited series of 2018, and I have two honorable mentions in this category.
I already have one, so I guess you can take it away.
Alright, I will start with my first honorable mention, which is probably higher on other people's lists, and that is Mr. Miracle. No! Wow. Probably would have been higher on mine if the ending was not satisfying for me, but I recognize how good and how thought-provoking, surreal this book is. It's a joy to read. There's certain elements of these issues that are just, I can't get enough of.
That almost made it to my list, but I figured somebody else would have it so I can give hilarious. It, so I can give it props too, because I was like, I didn't want everybody to do Mr. Miracle. Of course, everybody's going to have Mr. Miracle on their list, but...
No, Kat hit that moment at the very end of that issue where I was like, Tom King, stop. Just stop hurting my head.
And see, I had the opposite reaction to the end that you two had. I thought the ending was the most perfect ending for that series that he could have possibly written.
You could be right.
Blew my mind.
You could be right. That doesn't make it any less satisfying.
That's my opinion.
Yeah. I think it's a great 12 complete run, and I think that it's going to be something that if you can get it in individual issues, please do. If you can get that trade paperback, you know, it's great.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go right into my second honorable mention so that we can kind of rotate again. And that would be MCMLXXV, nice. 1975. Nothing has haunted me the same way that this series did. After reading the first issue, it just kind of stuck with me and I couldn't get why. Joe Casey and Ian McEwan, and I wasn't familiar with Ian McEwan, and I'm following him now. I need to know where this brain goes. Like, just a complete three issues. And I think that was what the greatest aspect of this was. It was so tight, it was nicely put together, easy recommendation, easy to reread. I loved this book.
Nice.
Cool. Alright, so you have...
So my honorable mention, would have to be Lucy Dreaming, written by Max Bemis, art by Michael Dylanis. Excuse me about that last name, Michael. I don't know why I love this so much. It's fun, first of all. And second of all, from a writing standpoint, the plot is basically how to write comics. Like, that's the awesome. Inciting incident is, like, is storytelling in and of itself, and this is a story about storytelling. So I just love that from a writer's standpoint. If you're at all inclined to like the more technical like story elements, then you'll absolutely love this, because this like breaks apart those story elements and makes them elements in this story.
That's awesome.
So
all right. Well, my number three was actually White Knight.
That was number three for me as well.
That was number three for me. Was Batman White Knight.
You are welcome, everybody. Oh,
shit. That is a first for the two episodes.
We are Cape Scouts.
Wow.
Actually surprising. I did not think that was going to happen at all, period, whatsoever. Right?
I thought White Knight would be on y'all's list.
But I didn't think it was. Know. Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Whoa. That is crazy.
All right.
Just, wow, what a series. What a, and I know this, talking about satisfying endings, this ending was way more satisfying. Especially the traditional comic fan.
Because, I mean, okay, if you haven't, I don't know, you find out basically in the end the White Knight is not who you think it is.
Yeah.
And
I don't fuck, we're really listening to spoilers, it's Harley Quinn.
Yeah, Harley Quinn is the actual White Knight.
So.
Yep.
And that was That was awesome.
This series was a singular vision through and through. It worked in so many ways. It made such bold choices with characters and where to mess with the timelines. It fixes Harley Quinn. Yep. It fixes Batman and Robin. And yep. We cannot talk about Sean Murphy's artwork.
Yeah.
It is just incredible to sit there and
the one thing I will say is he reminds me of, like, anime with the sheer amount of blood I saw in that series.
Yeah, and his, like, action lines, too.
What a great...
Yeah, and, like, the thematic arc of, like, people's relationships to each other and how they, like, shape our...
Oh, yeah.
Like, just our relationships shape our actions for, like, the better or mostly for the worse in this book, but, like... Yeah, it was super interesting to read that.
That is really
super
weird.
Easy recommendation.
Oh yeah, definitely.
From the get-go, I was hooked. I was hooked. That initial chase scene with the Joker.
Right.
Absolutely hooked.
All right, well, my number two, which I have a feeling is going to be on both lists as well, is Brave and the Bold, Batman and Wonder Woman, which is higher on one list, so we'll move to Patrick's.
Not on my list, actually. Number two for me was... Exit Stage Left, The Snagglepuss Chronicles, written by Mark Russell with art by Mike Feehan. For me, this is like, this comic was written for me, basically. I'm a huge fan of, like, I mean, it's about the Red Scare and still applicable today. And, you know, I'm a huge fan of Tennessee Williams, which Snagglepuss basically takes the place of in this comic. So, just everything about this, I feel like Mark Russell like wrote a comic specifically for me. So every issue is just so excited to pick up.
It was good. It just in the back of my mind, I'm like, oh god, I forgot about that.
Cat's trying to forget about it actively.
A little bit sometimes. So my number two, which will probably not strike up a huge conversation, was Man of Steel.
Oh, nice.
His introduction with Superman was really great, and I always love stories where they're like, we're going to mess with mythology a little bit. Nice. We're just going to cut up some things. Don't worry about it. I'm just going to move along.
Nice speedy story as well.
Oh, yeah. You get through it, and it doesn't drag at all, which is great.
All right. Well, my number one, just like Pat was talking about things that are written specifically for him, was Cosmic Ghost Rider, to no one's surprise. This was every reason why I read comic books. It's just adventure, chaos. Fantastic artwork, super entertaining, and it doesn't feel like it could work in any other medium. I say this, but now Into the Spider-Verse exists, so this might be able to be done in animation. So who knows? Kind of, I just, everything, the future Guardians, the future Kamala Khan, it was just like every week I'm sad it's over, but I'm glad it's this perfect little five issue thing. Like it's
great. Oh.
So your number one?
My number one was Shade the Changing Woman by Cecil Castellucci and art by Marley Zarcone.
That's another one that you told me about that I'm like, I'm depressed just listening to this.
It reads like a book of poetry more than a comic book at certain points, but it's actually pretty light-hearted and like really nice and weird and a candy-coated acid trip through what it's like for an alien to actually try to be human when you can be whatever you want. If you want to be a tree or be a road or be a human, what is it like to be those things and to feel and to live? Wow, just beautifully written and beautiful art.
So much deep thinking.
All right,
Kat, well...
Final one of the night.
I'm pretty sure... So, Batman Brave and the Bold, which we have gone over a lot.
Yeah.
Fantastic series, and the fact that he's, like, to be continued at the very end of the last issue, and I'm oh god, more reading where I'm not going to be able to read, because I'm too busy looking at a pretty picture. Not mad, but damn it.
Yeah.
This was once again that singular vision. Like this was, I have my notes. I said distractingly beautiful.
Oh yeah. Yes. Like,
the only reason that's not on my list is cause I already had Sharp as my favorite artist. So I didn't want to like double down on Liam Sharp.
See,
and I'm over here and I'm like doubling down.
And that was like, for me, that was the thing, was like knowing what was going to be in my favorite limited series actually formulated a lot of the other categories, because it was like, it was all of these ideas coming together.
Oh, really, okay. Like, Nice.
But I mean, as well as the fact that he's just working his way through things right now, and he's like, here's some Green Lantern, which I don't like sci-fi, but here's this. Love it, though. I'm like...
Like I said, being a little biased, being Irish myself, the fact that this comic book is basically Batman and Wonder Woman in Gaelic mythology is like...
Yeah, and I mean, it's one of those books that I'm like, I'm pretty sure I could get lost in a three-hour Google search.
Six super tight issues. This is definitely hand to anybody who's interested in either of these two characters and say, you will enjoy this if you don't, something's wrong.
If you're not interested in them at all, like I have a very passing... like affinity for Batman and Wonder Woman, and this just
available in a beautiful hardcover right now too.
Yes,
like so, pick this up.
All right.
Well, we got through it. We're probably going to get cut off in the next 15 seconds. So everybody, have a happy and safe New Year,
and let's say bye then.
Yeah.
Bye.